It's baffled scholars for two millennia. It is a puzzle made of multidimensional elements. An enigma with roots that reach back to the dawning of time, perhaps before. Daniel explained part of it. Ezekiel and Isaiah had glimpses into it. John saw it all for the time of the end. That time is now. Join Derek and Sharon Gilbert on a journey that spans the course of history. From Eden to Mount Hermon. From Hermon to Babel. From Babel to Rome. From Rome to the cross. And from there to us. Biblical prophecy is coming true before your eyes. And to understand it, you must discern the times both then and now. It's time to unravel the threads of this all-encompassing prophetic paradox. It's time to unravel Revelation.
The third and fourth riders of the apocalypse. Welcome to Unraveling Revelation from Skywatch TV. I'm Derek Gilbert.
I am Sharon Gilbert, and we are so, so glad that you've decided to join us on this program today. Some of you may have missed some of the early episodes of this, so if you're just starting, trust us, all of the archives are available. And eventually, I say that because it requires work, and we're kind of busy, but we plan to release DVDs of all of these programs.
We take a different view of the book of Revelation. We are premillennial for sure.
And pre-trib.
But, yep. But we understand that God didn't reveal his plans to the enemy. And really, Bible prophecy, when you look at it, is his plan to end this long supernatural war of rebellion against those small g gods, Satan and his minions, who rejected his authority. And he's not going to tell the enemy his plans before they're facing him across the battlefield.
No, he is not, which is why we're not dogmatic about some of our positions. If I am persuaded in the future to move to another one, then I'll leave the Lord open to that. But our prayer is that even though you may disagree with some of our conclusions, that the descriptions of the writers and other details that we try to connect to other scriptures, because the entire Bible is interconnected, it's all one author, all one author, the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is not going to contradict himself. So you can find supportive evidence for the writers and who they are in the rest of the Bible. And we've said this many, many times, and it's why we began this entire series with Genesis. If you do not understand the book of Genesis, you will not understand the book of Revelation.
Amen to that. Well, and as we continue our look at the writers and applying the divine counsel concept, the belief that John had literal entities in mind and was not just using these entities to represent concepts or philosophies or political changes or what have you, based on his identification of the fourth rider and 4A as Death and Hades, or Thanatos and Hades, which were known entities elsewhere in the Mediterranean
Hades
world.
Hades says, don't I get my own horse?
Well,
come on.
Maybe he's in a sidecar. Maybe it's like a chariot with a sidecar.
That's it. A little mini pony.
That's it. The third rider on the black horse was one that we had the most, I think, difficulty identifying. I think the first rider, which I know that there are those who believe that the first rider represents Christ. Mm-hmm. I think we can show...
I just really don't think so.
I agree because, A, he's wearing a different crown. B, he's got different armament compared to the rider in Revelation 19, verse 11, who definitely is Jesus.
And he's leading these three others who are resetting the world. They're creating a new world order.
Exactly. It's a different context entirely. If he's going out conquering and to conquer, the first rider, and then he's immediately followed by three other riders that are essentially bringing catastrophe.
Mayhem.
It doesn't really sound like the Messiah being the first rider.
Yeah.
So different crown, different armament, different context. It's not the Messiah.
And the second guy is just all about mayhem.
Right.
Just butchering.
And if you've not watched the program, you'll find all the archives at unravelingrevelation.tv. But the previous programs, we made the case that rider number one is Apollo, rider number two, Ares or Mars, depending on which pantheon you prefer. Rider number three, we thought was really interesting because the scales in his hand typically depict an economic inequity, mm-hmm. which makes sense because we read a quart of wheat for a denarius and three quarts of barley for a denarius do not harm the oil and the wine. But the word translated scales, zugos, refers to a yoke.
Yes.
So it's in economic slavery. And what they're describing here is a period of real hardship for the poor. A quart of wheat in the ancient world would be about enough caloric sustenance for one day.
Yeah.
And it's like eight times the, what was the depiction there? A denarius was a single day's wage. Mm-hmm. So essentially you are earning enough in a single day to feed just yourself. Now, if you're responsible for a spouse and children, well, yeah, then you're in desperate straits.
People are starving. They're very in desperate straits.
Right, right. And forget about taking off weekends or holidays because, again, if you're earning just enough to eat, supply your food for one day, you're really mm-hmm. in trouble.
Now, we've said previously that we believe these writers began their long ride in the first century
Correct.
When Christ arrived in heaven. There have been periods of time when a fascist or serf, you know, you've got the 1%
feudal.
At the top and the 99% who mm-hmm. are serfs, and they're essentially serving the very rich. We're seeing that same stratification occur now. We're losing the middle class.
Yeah. And in fact, I saw an interesting study on this by an economist just a couple of weeks ago that showed that that gap really began to shift. The middle class in America, we kind of assume now that we've always had it. It really didn't develop in America until after World War II.
No.
But since 1971, when Nixon took us off the gold standard, again, that gap has reversed, where the top 1%, their income is rising, and the rest of us have seen real income flatten and begin to fall, especially since the 90s. So, yeah, the middle class was sort of an anomaly, really, in human history. Most civilizations over the last 5,000 years of recorded history have not had a middle class. You've got the ruling class, the lords, and then the serfs.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're seeing in Scripture, and I think this is what this writer represents. In fact, a chapter that I've written for our forthcoming book on the writers of the Apocalypse deals with this and goes back to the ancient kingdom of Uruk. We're talking now more than 5,000 years ago. This was in a prehistoric age. Writing had not been developed yet or has not been discovered from this period yet mm-hmm. anyway. It was just beginning toward the end of this period called the Uruk expansion. Uruk is the ancient form of the modern name Iraq.
Right.
And the city of Uruk was the center of Nimrod's kingdom. In the Bible, it's written as Erech, E-R-E-C-H. Same name, different transliteration. The defining item, feature, archaeological find of sites that are dated to this Uruk expansion, which is dated by archaeologists between 3900 and 3100 BC, is a crudely made little bowl called the Beveled Rim Bowl. It looks like something a child would make out of Play-Doh, but this is the defining, and it was an advanced culture. They found some beautiful artwork and temples that date to this period of history when Uruk in southeastern Iraq dominated the Fertile Crescent as far away as Turkey. I mean, the oldest
That's
evidence...
That's a big area.
It's huge. The oldest evidence of urban warfare comes from about 3500 BC in far northeastern Syria, that little finger of Syria that is bordered by Turkey on one side and Iraq on the other. An ancient city called Hamukart was destroyed about 3500 BC by an army from Uruk. So was that Nimrod in his army? We don't know, but the Bible says that the center of Nimrod's kingdom was here, but then he moved into Asher, Assyria, which is northern Iraq. It describes the expansion of this city-state, Uruk. And the archaeologists know when they found a site that dates this period because they find hundreds and sometimes thousands of these little bowls. They were disposable bowls, essentially, given to workers with their daily ration of wheat.
Yes, yes.
Or
Here's
grain.
Your gruel.
Exactly.
And don't ask for a second
It's
one.
Universal basic income.
Yeah. Yes, that's exactly right. What I find interesting about right now, and again, we believe that this, well, it's an old idea, clearly goes back to Uruk and earlier, but it's really been taking off as if the fallen realm is trying to create a new world order, a brand new Babel in preparation for the return of Christ.
Right, exactly.
And they don't know when he's coming, so they keep having to, okay, well, it's not yet, so everybody pull back.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we think it might be now. Prepare the guy, prepare all this. but there are spirits behind the humans involved. Right now, not only is the middle class system eroding and the middle class is disappearing, but we also see an education system that seems to be geared to deliberately dumbing down individuals.
Right.
Back in the time period that you're discussing, writing and bookkeeping was just starting to come out.
Right.
If you could keep an accounting of what people earned, who got the universal basic income, who gave what to the gods,
right,
who gets what if we go into a famine, if you have that ability to keep those accounts and you can write, here's so-and-so's name. That makes you almost godlike.
Right.
Because that was a brand new idea, being able to convey information through the written word and through numbers.
Yeah.
If we are now in a situation where kids are being dumbed down intentionally and they're going to lose the ability to read and write the English language and to correctly compute mathematics, oh boy.
Well, that was part and parcel of George Orwell's 1984, where language had been simplified so that people could not communicate complex ideas.
What? It became emoticons?
Yes.
The emojis?
The emoji Bible, right. That's exactly what you're describing here. And that's why the god Nabu in ancient Mesopotamia was considered so important. And he became more important as Babylon became the dominant political power.
Nabu, the god of writing.
Nabu, the god, yes. He was the patron god of scribes and of writing, because in an age where most people were illiterate, a scribe was not just a secretary. He was essentially a secretary, a lawyer, a priest, a notary public, all rolled into one. Because just to send letters to somebody, hey, I'm coming home for, you know, the festival, you needed to go to a scribe and have him write it out and trust that he was doing it correctly and then send it on.
And then when you got the letter, you had to go and have it read.
And have it read to you. So this was an important thing. But when you move into the Greek and Roman period, which is when John wrote the book of Revelation, literacy was much more widespread. And so the role of this god, who by then was known as Hermes or Mercury, was much broader. And as we mentioned last week, Mercury's name comes from the same Latin root that gives us merchandise, merchant, mercantile. Right. A god of commerce, in other words. And so commerce and ledgers.
So NABU system, the Nabu system.
Right. Somebody at MasterCard who developed that network access and brand usage fee that merchants have to pay every time
once
they run
again,
a MasterCard.
Nabu is in control of it.
Right, right.
Boy,
but
the
it is
nudge,
economic.
Wink, wink.
It is economic slavery, and what we're seeing now with COVID 19 and 47 million Americans unemployed, filing for unemployment, and this push for universal basic income, I think, is all shoving us back in that direction.
Why don't we take a quick break, and then we'll come back and we'll try to talk about rider number four.
Rider number four, and we'll tell you how you can join us in the Holy Land next spring when Unraveling Revelation continues.
COVID-19 has changed everything. Because of the coronavirus, we can't bring the sold-out Defender Conference to Branson this year. So we decided, if we can't bring the conference to Branson, we'll bring it to you instead. SkyWatch TV's 2020 Defender Conference is going virtual. If you thought you were going to miss out because you couldn't travel to Branson this year, or because the conference sold out too quickly, now see and hear world-class speakers, cutting-edge presentations in the comfort of your own home. And to make it better, we're adding new speakers like Steve Quayle and New York Times best-selling author Joel Richardson. And don't miss what Tom Horn says will be his last conference presentation ever. Plus, we'll add all of the presentations from the 2019 Defender Conference, so you're getting two conferences for the price of one. Sign up now, SkyWatch TV's 2020 Defender Conference, virtual but bigger than ever. It goes live August 27th, 2020. For information and registration, log on to DefenderConference.com. That's DefenderConference.com.
Welcome back to Unraveling Revelation from SkyWatch TV. I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert, and we pray that you can join us in the Holy Land next April 2021. And boy, there's plenty of time. Go to SkyWatchInIsrael.com, and you will be redirected really quickly to the actual website. We'd give you the actual URL to the website,
really long.
But it's really long, got lots of numbers, weird figures. But if you just go to skywatchinisrael.com, it will forward you to the tour's website. And you will get excited because, boy, get to see Joshua's altar and Gilgal Rephaim, the actual tomb of Jesus.
Yes, and the actual site of the resurrection, or the crucifixion.
Yeah.
So
it's not quite where you've been told. Rabbi Zev Perot, he's got insider information because he grew up in the Sanhedrin families.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's from Tel Brak, which is a very, it's the largest
very
city of Orthodox, ultra-Orthodox Haredim in Israel. But now he's a believer in Yeshua HaMashiach, and he will join us for the tour along with our colleagues from Skywatch TV, Donna Howell and Allie Anderson Henson. This is going to be an amazing tour. There's an optional 4-day extension to take us to Jordan, which is the other land of the Bible, and we will go to Mount Nebo and explain to you why that is relevant, not just because that's where Moses got his only look at the promised land, but because God in the Bible calls it this mountain of the Avarim, mountain of the travelers. That's a term that was applied by the ancient Canaanites to the demonic spirits of the Rephaim. That's all in my book.
Yes.
So it's prophetic too, because Ezekiel puts the final battle of the war of Gog and Magog right there in the plains of Moab, which he referred to as the Valley of the Travelers. So it all ties together. And when you see it with your own eyes, it's raise the hairs on the back of your neck.
It does indeed. We also discuss that in our new book that Derek and I wrote together, Veneration. And mm-hmm. there's a follow-up to that coming out soon. We've got the DVD tour of second tour mm-hmm. of Israel. So you can, if you order the big package with the Red Wing Saga, Veneration, all of the goodies, you have $400. Look, it's a lot of money, but it's a lot of gifts.
Mm-hmm.
And most of that goes to Whispering Ponies Ranch to help kids who are trafficked and who have been abused. So
right.
we just pray you will do that. But if not, join us in Israel. That really would be awesome. Now to rider number 4.
Well, this is one that you've been researching and writing about for quite a long time.
A lot. In fact, you and I are writing a book that is
yep.
all about the riders.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be coming out this year.
But your presentation at the Rocky Mountain Prophecy Summit, it was 5 years ago because it was during the Ebola outbreak back in 2015.
Very
relevant again because COVID-19, and as we're recording this, we're starting to see an uptick in the number mm-hmm. of reported cases. Deaths, thankfully, not increasing here in the United States, but
praise
still.
Praise God for that.
Yeah. The writer, Thanatos, and
that's his name.
Yeah, yeah.
It's often translated, death is riding. That's his name. Thanatos was the name of a god.
But the wild beasts of the earth, that's something that was really intriguing. And I saw a lot of jaws dropping during that presentation 5 years ago. A lot of people just scribbling notes like crazy.
Well, the word there is Therion, and it actually is the diminutive of Thera. And it just Thera refers to beasts, but when it's the diminutive, it means the tiny beasts. Well, you could sort of go in the direction of what if those tiny beasts are macroscopic.
Mm-hmm.
They're viruses and bacteria and even vectors that spread those things like rats or mosquitoes. But we are seeing an uptick in what's called zoonotic diseases. These are diseases that cross from animal species to humans.
Mm-hmm.
It's believed that COVID-19, the SARS-CoV-2 virus that causes COVID-19, jumped from some sort of animal that is native to China and into the human population. Either it jumped naturally or was tweaked a little bit mm-hmm. by mankind to make the jump.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know which one it is, but it doesn't matter because people are still getting sick. COVID-19 it's something I've been researching, and I'm getting ready to write a chapter for Tom about this. It's being used as leverage to change the entire world.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what we see in these writers, that these writers are all about setting up a new world order. This is order ob chaos. This is order out of chaos. And the underlying factor to all of this is chaos. So again, if you don't understand the book of Revelation, you won't understand the book of Genesis, you won't understand what's going on in the book of Revelation. These writers are spreading their diseases, their arrows, their mayhem,
mm-hmm.
their economic control to set up a new world order. That's actually taking place right now, sponsored by the World Economic Forum.
Oh, yes.
And it's using climate change and specifically COVID-19. It's named over and over again in their documents. I was reading them this morning. They are using that. Their plan is to set up a new world order. They want to completely reset the world.
Hmm.
The Great Reset is what it's called.
Yeah, yeah. And that logo was really intriguing.
I know. We're not going to give that away because I'm writing about that.
That's
I'm
a
not
big reveal. Yeah,
that.
But that's fascinating. One of the other things that I think is interesting, and I've not seen a study on this, and I need to do some more math. I'm just kind of scratching this out here as we're talking because this occurred to me.
You're a scribe, are you?
Death and Hades, Thanatos and Hades, were given authority over a fourth of the earth to kill with sword and with famine and with pestilence.
They get lots of weapons, don't they?
Right.
It isn't just the little beasts. It's also sword and famine.
Right. So essentially, they're bringing along the other
it
previous writers.
It sounds like they are, doesn't
right,
it?
Right.
It sounds like it's a quartet.
Right, right. I mean, the first writer goes out conquering
tenor.
And to conquer. Yeah. And the second writer with mindless slaughter, warfare. The third writer, famine. So sword, famine. Then you've got pestilence here. The rider on the pale horse, Chloros, the color of illness and sickness. Mm-hmm. Killing authority over a fourth of the earth. Now, is this... The word a fourth of the earth is... the plural of Gaia, gay, gays.
Yeah.
It doesn't say a fourth of the
of humanity.
The ethnos.
It does not.
Right, right.
It says a quarter of the earth, so it might be landmass.
Well, I wondered about that because the earth is covered about 71% by water, so 29% of the earth's surface is landmass. But if you take Antarctica out of that equation and perhaps the Arctic Circle, you know, northern parts of Greenland, you roughly have about a quarter of the earth where humans can live. And I'm wondering if that's really what's referred to here as opposed to a quarter of the human population dying.
It's really unclear. It really is unclear. Traditionally, it is taught that it's a quarter of the population that dies.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of people. That's about 2 billion people.
Right. And there are those who will say then that we cannot be right in our interpretation that these writers began in the first century because we haven't seen a quarter of the world's population die.
No.
But if we interpret it this way, and again, a fourth of the Gaia to given authority over a fourth of the Gaia, was well, that's roughly the amount of landmass on which humans can live. Now, we've only occupied about 43% of the landmass of the earth, so we're not everywhere. I mean, if you've ever traveled around America, there are lots of big open spaces here. People in cities think we're overpopulated, but it's because they're living in cities.
But here's the thing. If they're given control and power over that much of the earth, all of the, you know, tillable, arable, livable sections of the globe, then it also may imply that they have authority over animals, over all of life, trees, plants. That's how you cause plagues. It's how you cause droughts.
Right.
It's how you cause famine. It's how you cause warfare because you're controlling the land mass.
Yep.
It could even control the rise of earthquakes.
And we have seen this type of warfare, mindless slaughter, this type of economic inequality.
Historically, it's happened over and over
again. And pestilences again and again and again. In fact, in the chapters that I'm contributing for our book, went through the history of wars and the millions and millions of dead who we in America often are just unaware of because we don't study, say, the history of China and the rebellions in the 19th century that literally left tens, if not hundreds of millions of people dead in the span of that century.
Yeah, we've totally forgotten our history, and that's just another sign that we've been dumbed down.
Right, exactly. And major outbreaks of disease that have occurred, the last major one where we got into literally millions of dead or tens of millions, was the great
Spanish
influenza
flu
of 1918, 1919. But prior to that, leading up to that, I mean, that was not all that unusual.
No, not at all.
So
there were lots of outbreaks in the 19th, 18th, 17th century. I mean, historically, you can go way back, beginning in the first century.
Right. And I don't know if we want to go ahead and just very briefly touch on the fifth seal here, the souls under the altar who were slain for the word of God. Again, that's often interpreted as those who are killed during the tribulation. But we know from Zechariah that prophets have been killed for the word of God, even into
All
Old Testament
along.
Time.
Absolutely. And what are they asking the Lord? How long?
Yes.
How long till you avenge us? I would argue that if they knew that this is day one of the 7-year tribulation period, which... you understand the 70 weeks prophecy given to the prophet Daniel, then we have not yet entered that final week, that final seven.
And that's a really
period.
Good point, because if the seals, the opening of the seals coincides with the beginning of
they'd
the 7 year, they would know.
We're almost there.
It's like, how long? Oh, wait, check my watch. Mm-hmm. 6 years, 364
exactly.
days.
Right. But because they don't know when Christ is going to return to the earth, they don't know how long these entities have to plague it.
Right. Right. So that sort of explains in a nutshell what we have expounded on over a number of weeks here, at least in terms of our belief that the seals have been opened since Jesus arrived in the throne room of the throne room of God in the first century.
And we decided to recap these writers because we had gone into the book of Daniel and explored a number of the prophecies there because they're very, very important to understand.
Understanding the 70 Revelation. Weeks is, that is key. That is the time that kind of synchronizes the clocks.
You know, at the rate we're going through the book of Revelation, he will be back before we ever get to the end.
Which is great.
Praise God,
amen to that.
Even so, come Lord Jesus.
Well, next week then, I guess we can dive into the sixth seal and we can start working on...
Dive into that earthquake.
Yeah. Well, that is a fascinating period, a fascinating discussion. And if you've missed the interview with David W. Lowe, author of Earthquake Resurrection, that was split into two parts over previous episodes, go back and watch those because... That, I know, is a different paradigm for many of us who were raised believing that the seals...
Yes, exactly.
Open when we, but it makes sense when you look at the timing. And again, the example of the souls under the altar not knowing when things will happen. Again, if that's a future event that coincides with the opening of... With the beginning of that last week of the 70, they would know. And they wouldn't be saying how long, oh
exactly.
Lord.
So, and David has two books that cover that topic, Earthquake Resurrection and also And His Voice Shook the Earth. They're really great, great books. Again, I want to make sure you understand, Derek and I are not saying you must believe it this way.
No.
What we want you to do is you and your family dig into this on your own. Don't assume that you know exactly what the chart is because you've read it someplace or been taught it by someone you respect. We believe you should get into the Bible on your own because there are study materials right there on the internet. They're free. Mm. You and your kids can do this.
Yeah. And the exciting thing is that you're promised a blessing by the Apostle John for reading the book of Revelation.
Yes,
it's strange and weird, but we think if you apply some of the divine counsel concepts, as we've been doing through this year that we've been doing this now, things will begin to open up and make a little more sense. But remember, we're not going to understand it perfectly any more so than the apostles understood the prophecies of Jesus' first coming perfectly. Remember, in Acts chapter 1, they were still asking him if he was going to reestablish the kingdom of Israel then, and he was like, I'll be back, but you won't know when. So just be patient.
But he is coming back.
Amen.
And that's
the key.
Good news.
Yes, amen to that. Thank you for watching. This is Unraveling Revelation from Skywatch TV.